You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Kingdom Recovery, and we're on WCNO 89.9. And it is 5 p.m., and I'm with Pastor Tom and Miss Becky, one of my best friends, and
James Ernst.
He likes to say his name.
No, it's kind of like a news show where you go,
we wanted to have
Louie, and then the other newscaster would say, and I'm so-and-so. She didn't quite get it. I wasn't going to bring it up again. I was like, oh, it's not-
Okay, so
come on, I want to say my name too then, if everybody's
okay,
saying their name.
Yeah, right? This is Kingdom News, the good news station. Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking, we're at the King's Table, that's the segment that we do, and it's Jesus's Table with Pastor Tom. And one of the things he's been discussing at our church on Wednesday nights, which you're welcome to attend, it's in Fort Pierce. So if you'd like to, you can always call me 631-745-7980. And you could also listen online at mytcvc.com. And you can listen to the teachings for Wednesday or the sermons on Sunday, which are very good. And I'm on some of them too. So is James. So you can listen to some of the teachings there. But we've been talking about praying for things. Right, Pastor?
Yes.
And why we pray for things and should we be praying for things and why? What are we praying for, actually? You know, because we could pray amiss. And it says in Matthew 6:8, your Father knows the things you have need for of before you even ask him. So I'm going to open it up with that, Pastor, and you just, I know that you have a lot to say on this.
Are you sure I've got a lot
to
say?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, when I first started studying the kingdom of God, and God led me in that direction, and I started reading the Bible, I asked the Holy Spirit to show me things the way that I was thinking as a Amen. Christian and not thinking as basically a kingdom person. And so I started in Matthew. You know, I figured I'd go through the four Gospels. I got as far as Matthew chapter 6, which is verse 25. It said Jesus was speaking. He said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought or don't worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought or don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? And when I read this scripture the first time, the Holy Ghost impressed on me right off the bat that Jesus was telling us not to worry about different things in our life. And I thought it was all about worry, but as he explained more to me, he showed me basically that up to that point, I was doing exactly what it told me not to do. Mm-hmm. My whole life was about going to work, getting enough money to pay the rent, getting enough money to pay for the house, getting enough money to pay for the car. My whole life was going to work to get all these things. And Jesus comes along with a kingdom mindset and says, don't even think about these things. Well, not only was I thinking about him, but I was worrying about him and everything else because that's what the whole world does. We're trying to get things. We're trying to get everything taken care of. We're trying to survive. We're trying to keep going. So when I read that, he said that, it really messed me up because my mind was in a completely different direction. And I just thought to myself, Jesus, why shouldn't you worry about this stuff? Everybody does it. And I've got pretty good at it, you know, worrying about it. And I didn't know what was happening. So basically he showed me that my number one priority wasn't the things of this world, and I repeat, things of this world.
Right.
But my number one priority here was basically what he said later then, which is verse 33. My job was to seek first his kingdom and right alignment with that kingdom. And when I do that, all these things that I'd spend my whole life worrying about, trying to get, working overtime to do, saving money to do, would be added unto me spiritually or supernaturally by the Spirit of God and by God himself. So I had to get off the things type of attitude and get on the kingdom mindset. And it was really a difficult thing to do because I would say that most people listening out there right now, their whole lives consist of what my life consisted of. What do? You get up. You go to work. You make some money. You bring the check home on Friday. You hope that that check makes it to Saturday. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it don't. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't what I was supposed to be interested in at all. I was supposed to be interested in his kingdom and his will rather than basically the things of this world. And he would take care of the things of this world.
Amen. And even as Christians, you can still not have the kingdom mindset where you're still praying or asking or begging for things, even though you know you've been called by God. You're asking him for the things that you think you need to fulfill his call for you. Meanwhile, it's about his will and what he desires you to have for his call. And that's why we get disappointed sometimes, or we feel like, what's the use? Or we start blaming God when we're not receiving what we think we need for to even fulfill what our purpose is in the kingdom, because we're still in that old mindset of, I have to make this happen. I need these things because that's what the world tells me I need in order to do those things, you know, and that's where we stumble and fall. And that's what God's trying to say. The things that are even our basic needs, and those are the things we need the most, the basic stuff. And he says, I provide for those things. So how much more would he provide for the things that are supernatural that we think are impossible to get?
And the supernatural things he gives us are not really for us anyway.
Exactly.
They're for us to do his will, basically, and seek his kingdom first. And and all it did, what I was doing was it brought me a lot of anxiety because a lot of times people got things that I'd been praying for forever and I didn't get them.
Yeah.
So in other words, I was jealous. I was mad.
Right.
I was upset. I was upset at God because, you know, I'd been in the church for 30 years. This person came in for 2 days and they're getting what I'm not getting. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, and God was trying to straighten me out on saying that that's I'm not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
Basically, they found the key to the victory, which was to put God's will and God's kingdom first rather than my own things.
Right.
And basically everything I was praying for wasn't to benefit God. None of it was to benefit God. It was all to benefit me,
right.
What I needed, what I wanted to do, what I thought I should have, what I thought I could have. You know, it had nothing to do. So my prayer list completely got destroyed at that time. I just ripped it up and threw it away, and I started trying to find out what God's will was and then putting my faith in God's will for my life rather than the things I thought God had to give me. God was basically my, if you want to put it that way, genie in a bottle. In other words, if I needed something, if I rubbed God enough by going to church enough or being nice
or
enough
Santa Claus.
Or fasting enough or whatever, God would look down and say, oh, I got to bless that boy. Oh, yeah, but it didn't work that way. See, I had to get over and switch over into God's will, God, what God wanted to do. And when I did that, then all these things started just supernaturally, naturally coming into my life. And all at once, I was getting out of debt and I was starting to have money for things, but I wasn't even thinking about money anymore. All at once, I switched over. I wanted to do why I was put here to begin with. So that eliminated also faith in my life. Because I was taught my whole faith was to have enough faith to get
believe
these things.
In things.
And then I found out I wasn't even supposed to believe in for these things or faith in for these things. So I lost faith in my prayer list in one day.
So it's really,
it's true, though.
It's really faith in the promises and what God already provided, you know, and that's where we can, you know, again, stumble and fall. And that's why it's so important that when we love God, we love him with all our heart, because in our heart is really the motive of what we are seeking. And if we're not seeking him first, it says day and night, Christ-minded. What is he, what's his will? What's his thoughts? What's his desire? If I seek him first, then I'll know that through my day. I might not even know when I receive something what it's for yet. Most of the time I don't And then he reveals it to me as the day goes by. I'm like, you know, and I don't even know it was a gift until I needed it, you know. And then he shows it because I gave you that this morning. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, that scripture, you know. But if you don't seek him first, that's the main key, is going to him first in all things, everything that I do. It's just mind. It's what is it, Christ-minded or consciousness, God consciousness. It's just inviting him in everything, every thought, basically. Even if we think it's nothing when you're driving, you think, you know, and then you just recognize that you give it to him.
Amen. And they're all looking at me like,
well, you got to put your hand up or something, James, or stand on top of the table and start dancing around here or something so we know when you want to jump in there.
We're doing good. Yeah, sound like you're struggling. I'll help you out.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. I think we'll be all right. Thanks for the help, though. Yeah, in Philippians chapter 2, you can see Paul had a kingdom mindset in verse 20. He said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for the welfare of God. For all their own they seek, not the things of Jesus Christ." Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I said, yeah, that's me, verse 20 and 21. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at right now, because everything I was believing God for was for me and for mine and for this or for that and getting things done. But I didn't understand that, you know, I thought maybe God was put here for me. Mm-hmm. You know, here I am. God must be put here for me. He's supposed to be doing everything for me. So why isn't he doing everything for me? And I forgot that he created me and he put me here for him. The Bible says I was created by him, but I was also created for him, which means I'm supposed to be doing here on earth what he put me here to do. And as long as I'm doing that, I don't have a problem with the things I was praying for and seeking that didn't have anything to do with God himself at all. So once I switched over, that's when all at once I came out of debt, once I started prospering, all at once things. Because I'll tell you what, if you start doing the will of God, and the Bible calls us co-laborers with him, we're supposed to be laboring with him, not him laboring with us or doing whatever. But if you do that, then God will make sure that you have everything that you need to get done his will in this earth. And he told us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I thought it said, so you can perform the perfect will for me. But it said the perfect will for God. And I, you know, sometimes when you're thinking that way, you miss words in there. And I just thought it was for me. So the more I get, you know, transformed to God, I'm going to have all this money coming in. But I didn't. It was for God to find out his perfect will, first of all, in my life. So your number one thing, if you're born again and you're spirit-filled, you need to find out what the heck God put you here for. I mean, why am I here? It's 2026. Maybe I'm 20. Maybe I'm 40. Maybe I'm 60. Maybe I'm 90. But there's a purpose you were put here for in this day and this hour. And it has very little to do with you probably wanted to do up at this time.
Right.
You know, when I was younger, I was going to be a big radio broadcast star. You know, I was going to introduce all the big... Oh, yeah. I was going to be all the big people out there, the big singers, and I'd introduce them and everything. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that he wanted to put me on radio for him.
Right.
No idea that he wanted me to speak in front of people for him. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. But then when I started studying the Word of God, it helped me to put faith in the things that I needed for him, not the things I needed for me.
Yeah. You know, when you were sharing about for his will, you know, that we transform for God's purpose, for his will. You know, even with other people, that it just brought, just if you're struggling and you're saying, if only that person would change, then my life would get better, right? That's like we were doing that even with that.
Sure.
And even if someone does change, it's really for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So you pray people do get transformed, but not so your life gets better, so that the kingdom of heaven, God, can expand here on earth as it is in heaven. It's so that they can serve as God and be in a relationship with God. So even if, you know, because years ago, before, even in the beginning of my walk, my journey with the Lord, it was about that. It was about, like, if all these people would just know who God is and change and, you know, but it was really...
just straighten up.
So my life would be a better place to go to. But today, it's really, even in that thought, you know, we always want to say, if this person would do this, then my life would be better. If you can just change to, this is where kingdom mindset starts to change. It's the turn. It's the repenting. Turn your thinking towards for God's glory. If that person can change for God's glory so that they can do God's purpose for their life, and pray that instead of, you know, declaring, if they would only change so my life would get better. If when they do that, then I can do this. If you can change that. Even in your own personal relationships, you start with God, but it's you and him first. You see, it got easier for me when I started applying that in my inner being with the Lord. Like, okay, so everything that happens in my life, you know, my change. And sometimes there are things that change that I didn't even know needed to be changed, that change because he needed them to be changed, mm-hmm. you know. But the fact that you show up and you're giving him your heart in the morning, you're seeking him, he will do things that you didn't even, that you're not even aware of that needed to be done. And then you come out the other side and you're like, oh, now I get it. And that's the, like the revelation of who he is in our lives. When we can really look back and see how he transforms us and makes us start to think differently and will differently, line up with his will for other people, what he wills for other people and he desires. But really all the promises are already there. And that's what we're manifesting. That's what we're allowing him to manifest through us. It's him through us, what he already gave us. So,
yeah, we were using faith basically to manifest things in the natural realm, and that's not what God wants. God wants us to put faith in what he's already done and provided for us, so we start to manifest it. That's why in Peter it says, according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So there's no sense praying for things for life and godliness if he's already given them to me. They belong to me. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? These precious, great and precious promises, you will be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Mm-hmm. So my faith was no longer in things. It was in what he did for me. In other words, faith in my holiness that he's already provided.
Amen.
Faith in my righteousness, faith in my power, faith in my anointing, faith in my ability to preach the gospel. Faith had a switch to things that he's already provided for me, because the more I took on his nature, the more effective I was in furthering his kingdom, which is what I was put here to do to begin with. And it says here at the end that if we do that, put on the divine nature, we escape the corruption in the world.
Hallelujah.
Well, I was taught for years to escape the corruption in the world, and I would put on the divine nature. Well, that didn't work, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, the corruption. I couldn't fight it off. I couldn't quit getting angry. I couldn't get upset. I couldn't all this stuff. I couldn't get rid of it because I didn't have the power to do that. But when I used faith to put on righteousness, sin started leaving my life, because once I was righteous, righteous people don't sin. I was anointed. So praise God, I didn't have to worry if I was going to be anointed or not. I was full of the power of God. All these things that Jesus has already provided for us. That's what faith is. Faith is now.
Right.
What now?
Amen.
I'm anointed now.
Amen.
Hope is I'm going to be anointed next week, but you're already anointed now.
That's
so
right.
When I put my faith in what God wanted, who he made me, what he wanted me to do, how he wanted me to do it, that's what started revealing from the inside of me. And I'll tell you, the more revelation you get from God, the more revelation you'll get from God.
Yes.
If you're saying no to the revelation that God is trying to show you, you might as well forget it, because you're not going any further till you finally agree with him and get it over with.
That's right.
You know? I mean, I tried to teach God, but he already knew a lot of things that I didn't know. So he had to straighten me out on a few things. So he would straighten me out on things. And I mean, I've had some arguments with God. Of course, I've lost every one. Yeah. But I've had quite a few arguments with him on, you know, I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. I'm not anointed. Everybody who gets up there prays for the anointing one before they preach. And I'm going to pray for the anointing. And he said, how do you know if you're going to get it? And I said, well, I guess if I do good, I got it. If I stunk, I didn't get it that day. I don't really know what happened for sure. But then once I knew I had it, I could stand up there knowing that the ability of God was with me to go ahead and do what God
Amen.
Wanted done in that situation. So the faith that you have out there, you got to find the precious promises, as it talks about here. And the promises that you find, basically, then you implement them in your life by believing them. And the Bible says you may draw back in your faith. Why is that? Because there's going to be other evidence that comes into your life that tells you that what God's saying is not right. And if you draw back, then he's not pleased with you.
Right.
Why? Because he wants you to be what he's already made you to be.
Amen.
But it takes your faith to do that.
Amen. Amen. And the other thing is, take no thought. Don't stay in the natural. The natural senses is when we take our own thoughts back. And he says, stop thinking. You know, your thoughts are not his thoughts. And if you go into the spiritual senses, then the revelation starts to occur where we can. And the things that we're talking about are the promises. I just really want to, you know, keep saying that, because we keep thinking things are of this world and that the things of the promises. And without faith, we can't even see what they are, because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, what those promises are. And then to be bold in those promises, that's what it takes, faith to motivate, to be bold. And that's all, that's what it's about. It's not, I have to build my faith up to get them. We already have them. I have the faith in them that they are already there. They're provided. And then be them. Let them manifest through me, like righteousness, holiness, healing, all these things that we, that God talked about, that we're just reminding people what the word says. That's why it's so important that we, this is the mind of Christ, of God, the Bible. If you want to know how God thinks, what his imaginary, what he imagines, what he wills for, you know, we're in his image and likeness, image, imagine, his thoughts, we're in his thoughts. Find out what his thoughts are. We read the Bible. We spend time with him, and he reveals. We allow the Holy Spirit. I always say, Holy Spirit, have your way with me. Teach me something today. Even if I'm reading just a little something that's scriptural, I say, Holy Spirit, teach me something that I can't see in the natural, something that you can only show me in the spiritual. And then he shows me things, the things that we are really searching for as the spiritual person that we are, the spirit man. You know, that's the real being that God created in us. The natural has been distorted. So if we, you know, and it is an opinion. It's my imagery of what I think I see. Becky. Like, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and in the kingdom of God, too, you talked about reading something in the morning. Even if you get a kingdom mindset, even if you don't have time to read the Bible maybe in the morning, you'll find a situation that day that God will teach you. Yeah. I mean, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go just when you read the Bible or on Sunday church. He's with you all the time. So you're going to run into somebody maybe who's just completely terrible that day, and you're going to find out what the scripture means, that we love people unconditionally.
Amen.
And you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to do that, or am I going to punch this guy in the face and run away someplace else?
Right.
So what is it? It's a teaching tool, and the Spirit of God's going to bring that scripture up in you. Mm-hmm. And when your feelings are going crazy and your emotions are going crazy and everything's rising up in you, you're going to hear this little voice that says, love everybody unconditionally.
Yes.
And you're going to, ah! And then you're going to love them anyway, and you're going to hug them anyway and do what you're supposed to do, because that's a learning experience. Now,
Amen.
You didn't read that from – you learned it from the beginning from the Bible, but you had to act it out then. And if you don't act on things, they're not going to work. And like Luann says, all the promises of God are important, but if you read it from an Old Testament mentality, you're always going to be trying to attain these promises.
Right.
Jesus came and fulfilled all these promises that have already been taken care of for you. The Bible in 2 Corinthians says, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in Jesus are yes,
amen.
And they are amen.
Hallelujah.
That means they're done. That's why it says, faith is now.
Yeah.
Now faith
yes,
is the substance.
Yes.
It's not, you're not faithing
yes.
for something for the future.
Mm-mm.
You're faithing in something now. So faith in my anointing or my power or my authority or my victory doesn't get me that. It basically activates what I already have in my life. So I start living in that at this time. When I first got born again, all I did is I had faith in things. I had faith in the things of God. I never had faith in the God of things.
Right.
I had faith in the things of God.
Right.
So, and that ran into trouble because I had faith maybe for some money. I needed some money. I needed a car. I needed this. So I'd have faith. And all at once, you know, I'd get a little extra money. And woo, it's coming. God finally heard me. It's working. And then the next day would come and nothing would happen. And the next day the card break down and my faith is getting less and less. And then it's getting close to the time where I got to make a payment and I'm going crazy and I'm upset and I'm everything else. Why? Because my faith wasn't in God and what he said.
Amen.
It was in the things of God. And when the things of God didn't show up, I got mad at God. If I had faith in things, how many know God is the same yesterday, today,
Amen.
And forever? So it kept me in line with him, and I didn't have to. It doesn't matter. I got faith in God. Don't look like it's happening. Doesn't matter. I got faith in God. And God said he'd supply all my needs
Amen.
According to his riches and glory. See, it helped me stay on the word of God to begin with and trust God rather than trusting and looking at the things in the natural where I thought God wasn't doing what he was supposed to do.
Amen. And that's so important. And I believe that somebody listening, that some revelation just happened, because it's so important to understand. Well, we understand by faith too.
Mm-hmm.
We understand God by faith.
Yes.
So what Pastor just said, it's believing in the things of God or God of the things. You know, who's God in your life? That's where the heart. That's why he says you can confess with your mouth, but you got to believe in your heart. You see, we can say, oh, God says I should be prosperous and all these, but am I believing in God being already providing it for me, or am I believing that he will give it to me if I beg enough, if I read enough, if I talk enough? That's not what it is. It's believing in, it's already been done. He already declared it. He's a king. He can't go back on his word. And if you know about kingdoms and laws, and this is what the Bible's about. It's about a government, you know, and if you learn about kingdom governments, you'll know God really well because he's very faithful and it's very true. What the king says, he's not going to go back. He already declared it. It's already done. So he already gave it to you. You don't have to go searching for it. Just seek him and his will and his way, and he'll reveal it to you. That's what it means. It'll reveal itself in your life. So.
And the natural things, too, basically, they really don't bring peace and joy and success anyway. I mean, they're temporary. Like the Bible says, you're not going to take any of them to heaven with you. I mean, you came here with nothing. You're basically going to leave with nothing. And we put such strong things in things and our faith in things all the time. And for me, this was especially important, especially when I read that, you know, by his stripes I was healed. And everybody told me, well, if you're healed, you're healed. And I thought, well, that made sense. And, you know, Psalm 103 said he heals all my diseases. So I thought, well, then I'm going to live in divine health if he said this. I'm going to put my faith, and I put my faith in the healing of God.
Amen.
But what happened was then when a symptom hit my body the first day, bless God, I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I woke up the next day, felt twice as bad as the first day, and I said, bless God. And then the next day I felt better. I said, hallelujah. And the next day I felt worse. And the next day, well, what am I doing? I'm double-minded. I'm going back and forth. Yeah. Why? Because my faith was in the healing of God, but not in God. It didn't matter how I felt on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. God still said he would heal all my diseases, and by his stripes I was healed. So it got me to a place where I quit being double-minded about everything. Let's face it. When we started out, we were no-minded.
Exactly.
So at least we became double-minded, you know, because we found out some of the promises. I'm at least double-minded.
At least we can shoot and maybe get 50%.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm confused, but at least I'm headed in the right direction. So when I started putting my faith in God, it didn't matter how I felt that day, good or bad or the other. I didn't get that excited when I felt better or when I felt worse because my faith was in God in that situation and not in the healing of God. And then I couldn't get mad at God or the other way I could. I've been believing for 1 week now. Nothing's happening. I don't know what you're doing up there, God. Do you even know I'm down here anymore? What's going on? I mean, everybody says that you should be healed by now. I know I should be healed by now. Well, it didn't work that way, see, but my faith is in the wrong thing. And when I learned that about divine health, I started applying it. And it's the same formula, if you want to put it that way, to everything in your life.
That's right.
If you put faith in God. And Jesus came and he looked at the disciples and said, have faith in God. He never said, have faith in the things of God and take your chance. So Jesus knew what he was talking about. Have faith in the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith is faith in God.
Right. Amen. Yeah. And not in the healing or in the prosperity. And you see, we want to put that. We don't realize we're doing it. There's no condemnation because I've been guilty of it. And sometimes I got to catch myself, you know, in the moment. Healing of even forgiveness. You know what I mean? Like, am I putting my faith in the forgiveness? If I forgive, then my life is going to get better. Or am I putting it in God, the God of forgiveness? He gave me forgiveness, you know? And that's if we just shift it just a little bit and be conscious about what we're shifting, conscious about God first, you know, in our lives, then things will start to shift in your life. Everything starts to shift in your life.
Yeah, when you line up with the word, things really do start to get better, believe it or not. I mean, even when you read about things that you don't want to change, and there's quite a few when you first start out. Yes. I mean, a lot of things that you thought you were doing right, and then you find out that God's got a different way of doing it like this. You know, my whole prayer list that I had for 10 years was just a total basic waste of time, and the way I was thinking was a total waste of time. I was trying to almost manipulate God to get what I wanted. You know, look, God, I went to church twice on Sunday and once the next day, and you should be doing this for me, not understanding that he wants to provide for us. He's our Father. So basically, I had a pagan mentality at that time. I was trying to convince God. I was trying to get God to do something. And that's really what religion taught me. And if you're living in religion all your life, you're trying to impress some kind of God to get you something. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, there's a moon god. You know, everybody's got a little G-O-D or a big G-O-D, whatever you want. And they had a moon god, and they had a sex god, and they had all these people. And what did they do? They brought it offerings, and they brought it sacrifices, to try to get that moon to do what it was supposed to do, or the rain god to do. And we're not better as Christians.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we bring our works and everything that we're doing for God. God, did you see me? I gave $20 to so-and-so. We're doing that to try to almost manipulate God or convince God to bless us, not understanding that he wants us blessed more than we want to be blessed because he needs us to be blessed to do what he put us here to
that's
do.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, because that's he wants. He has a plan and a purpose. We all need to find out what it is. And the only way he reveals himself is through faith. And how do we get faith? By hearing. Hearing the word of God is how he reveals his plan and purpose for us. You know, for each and every person listening, there's nobody's more or less. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's in the little things. God is in all the things in your life, even the little things. Even if you think you're not, doing these great big things, you're more valuable, simple with him. He's very simple.
Yeah, manifesting the nature of God is big. I mean, when you're around people and you're actually living in peace and joy and you happen to be happy for a change, people, first of all, think you're nuts. Mm-hmm. But after that, and they're around you long enough, they may even start to like you a little bit and then wonder why they're doing this stuff. And faith is basically having faith in what God has provided for you, even in the midst of a storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked on Wednesday night about when they were in the boat and basically the storm came and the waves came and the disciples, I mean, adversity came and they'd been with Jesus now, who I thought would be a pretty good teacher for 3 years. And basically what they say, we're going to die. Well, that had to be the worst thing to come out of their mouth in the whole situation. But Jesus just stood up, probably like this, shook his head. Oh, my God, look at these guys.
Aren't they learning?
You know, like every pastor, aren't they learning anything, for God's sakes? Or,
Oh, my me.
And then, of course, he spoke to the winds and the waves because he knew what he could do and he knew the nature he had on the inside of it. And then, of course, it said, what manner of man is this? The disciples came. So they didn't understand kingdom.
No, they were with him.
They just said, my God, that's the one he's been talking about, a kingdom. But they didn't. They said, this guy's a little bit different, you know, than everybody else. But it's a manner of man to where you live above the natural circumstances and situations. Everybody runs into trouble. You see some people and you think they never have any problems. Oh, yes, they do. They just walk in victory through the problems rather than talking about them, complaining about them, moaning them around them. Always like when Paul and Silas, you know, are out there, they're preaching the gospel, man. Yeah. They're talking about the kingdom. They're, man, hallelujah. And then they come and arrest them and they put them in jail.
Yeah, the worst day of their life.
Worst day of their life. And I mean, and they had to be thinking, because I would have been, you know, what are you doing, God?
Right, I'm doing everything.
Yeah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and all those who rise up against me shall be condemned. That can't be happening to me. What's going on here? All the way then they're going into jail, in the deep dark of the jail. And they get locked up in there, and the rats are running around, and it's dirty, and they're thinking, thanks a lot, God.
Yeah.
But that ain't what it said. It said they praised him in the midst. Why? I think they kept their faith in God rather than the situation and circumstance they were going through. And when they did that, something supernatural happened. There was a little shaking of the building there, and the chains fell off, and they ended up getting to the jailer there, who thought he was going to die, because if you lost prisoners in that day, you're pretty much done. Mm-hmm. But he was all right because they actually started a church in his house. So now I'm sure when Paul and Silas got arrested and were being taken to prison, they weren't thinking, good, we're going to be able to start a church. They had no idea they were going to start a church.
Right.
They were just thinking, what the heck? But notice they kept their faith
in God
rather than the situation.
And the purpose, right.
Because you start putting your faith in circumstances and situations and other people, like you were saying, if they just change, well, forget it. You know, you're the only one who can really change. They've got a free will. That's totally up to them to do it. But it's good to see people in the Bible who ran into trouble but did the trouble right rather than wrong. And there was a good something on the end of it that happened to them to where they actually started the church.
Yeah, they took it and gave it to God for his glory. But and what you would, because I'm getting stirred up because I'm thinking, they did more without Jesus around, you know, by faith. If Jesus was still there, they would have waited for Jesus to get them out. They would have, they would have said, well, he's going to come. And if he didn't come, you know what I mean? So like it took faith. They believed what God promised them. It all started coming together after he left, everything he taught. But while he was with them, they couldn't see in the spirit. They were only looking at him in the natural, you know. So they had to open their hearts to remember what he was saying. That's why when we, in the Bible, when we're reading or we're listening to sermons or we're learning with the Holy Spirit, you know, experiencing life with God in the center, that's when we remember, that's when we build our faith too. Mm-hmm. We trust. We have to take that step and you know, we can't say, well, when this happens or when that happens, it already happened. You just have to believe that, you know.
And nobody needs faith for a sunny day.
No.
They need faith when it rains.
Yes.
You know, and when you're going through trouble, that's when you really need faith. Otherwise, I mean, if everything was going to be perfect in your life and God was going to take care of everything for you like most of the church teaches, then you don't need any faith.
That's right.
God's going to take care of it. Don't make any difference to me. Mm-hmm. And as you read the Bible and you start to see this faith in God himself,
Amen.
You'll start to study people's lives. Like the first thing I went to was Job. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember people talking about Job and me reading Job. Job had some issues.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, he lost all his sheep. He lost his goats. He
family,
lost his cows.
Everybody.
He lost his kids. He lost his family. He lost everything. He goes to his wife and she looks at him and says, I'll tell you, let me help you. Curse God and die.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that wasn't the answer to the situation, but that was her answer
yeah.
to the situation, to the natural. I'm going to curse God because this is all his fault and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Job responded to him and said, even if God slay me, I'm going to keep my faith in
Amen.
God. I thought, my God, that was powerful. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who didn't even know whether God wanted him dead or alive. He didn't even know that much about God.
And didn't have the Holy
but
Spirit.
Yet, but he was still going to yeah. trust God, even
Amen.
If God killed him at the time. And, of course, at the end, he got twice as much as
all
everything. Because now, what I don't know what he said. If he'd have cursed God, he probably would have died. That'd mm-hmm. probably Job would probably be two chapters right now rather than the whole thing. But he didn't do that. You know, he did.
Amen.
He stayed in faith. Even way back then when faith wasn't really, I don't know, wasn't really there much.
Yeah.
It wasn't taught about. It wasn't in Scripture. So we as believers, if we take these examples, we can see if they did that back then
yeah.
without the Holy Ghost, without authority, without power, without a real close relationship yeah. where God's living in you, then what should we be doing today? Every time something happens to us, we want to freak out. Every time something don't go our way, we want to lose it. Well, you're just, what you're doing there is you're separating yourself from the kingdom and the Spirit of God to do what God wants you to do in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
He always wants the kingdom initiated in that situation someplace
always.
And how God would operate and what he'd do. And by doing that, then you can introduce them to the king of the kingdom, which is Jesus Christ and God himself.
Amen. He wants to be in everything. Hallelujah. That's the whole purpose of our life, is to include God in everything, to invite him into every area of your life, your finances, your relationships, your job, everything. And when you start doing that, your perspective of everything in your life, your money, your job, your family, starts to change because you're getting God's view. He's showing you himself through your situations in your life. And then you can see the positives. You can give it to God and let him do what he needs to do in those situations. You know, if it was that way, then this would be heaven. If God had all power to make it right, then we wouldn't, this would be just like heaven. We'd all be saved and everything. It's not that. He needs cooperation. He needs us to cooperate with him, like Pastor was saying, to join him, to be one with him, and to make that our will is lined up. When it's lined up with God's, that's when miracles happen. That's when we manifest.
Yeah, there has to be an agreement with God if we're going mm-hmm. to allow, you know, God to really do something in our life. You can't be walking in disagreement, of
right.
course, and have anything happen. In Philippians, it talks a little bit about things again. In verse 18, it says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, he's talking about Christians
mm-hmm.
here, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. Why? They mind earthly things
right.
all the time. So earthly things are a danger to the kingdom of God. Everybody wants to fight the devil. You need to fight earthly things
right.
off of your life.
Yes.
You know, I just went up north and my mom had passed away several months ago, and I went up to the house, and I get up to the house, and all this house is just full of things. Things everywhere you look, things here, things there. And everybody wants things. Well, I got a dumpster and every thing that I got a hold of went in the dumpster, basically. Why is that? Things don't impress me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk to God about things. I don't even ask for things. I got enough things,
right.
for goodness sakes, without adding things
yeah.
to it. Well, here it talks about people who are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, why is that? Because at the cross, Jesus provided for us
everything
that we need for life and for godliness. It's already there when you entered the kingdom of God. But you want things ahead of everything Jesus provided. You don't want power in the anointing. You want a new car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want authority to operate in this realm. You want a new house.
Mm-hmm.
You want all these things. And here it says these people are headed for destruction because things just lead to destruction. And if you don't put so much faith in things and so much energy into things, then you can't lose things and be upset. You know, if somebody robs you of something, basically you lost it, and you know God gave it to you to begin with. You didn't get it because you're so great, and then they stole it. You just know God will give you a bigger one and better one anyway, so go ahead and take it. You know, do whatever you want with it. But if it came from your hard work, and I had to go to church now 14 times again just to get that thing back because I lost it. No, you didn't get it because of that to begin with. You did it because you were seeking first the kingdom of God, living in right alignment with the kingdom, and God was giving you everything you could. Now what do you got? You actually got a spiritual gift, basically, that's perpetuated, and it's for your use to do to further the kingdom of God and what you're called to do. That's why, you know, you cannot love God and money.
That's right.
You've got to pick one or the other. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not talking about things. Well, what do you do with your money?
Buy things.
Buy things, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. You might as well put things in there, for God's sakes. Well, I don't want things. I want money. Yeah, well, every time you go someplace, you need more things. And you got enough things. And that's not what it's about. Things last. I mean, people get a new car and they get so excited, you know, 2 months later, they're looking at cars. Again, it just doesn't satisfy. But what satisfies is the divine nature God has given us, the love that he's given us, the power that he's given us. He's even given us, you know, a purpose for being here, which makes it all worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I mean, before I knew I had a purpose, I was just going through life every year.
Groundhog Day.
Waiting for something to happen. There we go again. Time to go to work. But when I found out that I have something to do here, even my job was not anymore for pay.
Right.
It was for God, and it got to be exciting because I was out there to extend the kingdom of God. I was going from house to house with an opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. I was just gone saying, I got to get in this stupid mail truck again. I got to load this stupid mail in this truck and talk to these stupid people again and go around all day. It didn't become that way for me. It became an adventure.
Yes.
And in the post office, you know, I was working around 50, 60 carriers right next door to me in these little cubby holes, and I had an opportunity. And when people had a problem, they came to me. What did I do? I gave a kingdom answer to it. And so wherever you go to the supermarket, just be aware. You don't have to tackle everybody in Walmart and try to breathe the life of God into them. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you there's people in there, as you look at their faces, as you watch them, you can tell without the Holy Ghost even telling you, these people definitely need something. Hallelujah. So it's a mission for you. It's a daily purpose for you. It's for fulfillment for you.
Right. It's purpose. It's position. I mean, you were talking about having authority. It's like we're always trying to climb to have the certain position or these big platforms. God, when you're with God, it's bigger than what we can ever ask for in life. It's unlimited with Him. You know, there was something else you were saying. It'll come to me that I wanted to talk about.
Well, it was probably pretty profound, you know. If
it was
I said
good.
It, so
yeah,
it'll
yeah.
come back.
It was good.
Yeah,
no, it was. It's
that.
Always good. It's like there's too much going on in my head. I'm like, you know, it's like, gosh.
You know, so, the love of money too is. We think of the rich guy in the parable, and there's a lot of love of money in the poor people, and they're just striving, and don't know that's.
What's driving
them, you know?
Yeah.
Then they get jealous of, well, they should take Elon Musk money and give that all away. You know, it's like, why are you looking at them? Is it your love for money is why you're even looking at him? Why do you care what he has?
Amen.
It's like, so that parable isn't just a rich person. The love of money in America is like everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it frees you up when this is what I was going to say when you were sharing, when you were talking before, Pastor. When you're not concerned about things, it frees your mind up to not only be, I guess, satisfied with what you have, because you know it's not even yours, it's just for the kingdom, but also it changes your mind to say, see, today I think I get to do certain things, not I have to do certain things. And it changes everything when you get to share with other people. You know, not I have to do this if I want this. You see, it's even tithing. People's mindset are off on that. Well, I have to tithe if I want to get. That's not it. I get to tithe. I get to tithe. And wherever it goes, it goes. You know, and sometimes it comes back to me. Sometimes it goes to something else, you know, but it's all for the kingdom. And it's nothing. If you can just, if we all, you know, me too, get that little shift of about just getting, it's a privilege to be here on earth to serve God. I mean, think about the old, like we were talking about Job and all them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. How much easier is it for us if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us rather than fight him all the time and try to do it our way? You know, if we just, let go and let God teach us and lead us so that he can use us. properly instead of getting in the way all the time.
And just because most people don't know it, the scripture says that when we tithe, the Lord will rebuke the devourer. But somewhere everybody I talk to says, when you tithe and you find out where the pastor's spending it, and do you know where he's spending it?
Yeah.
And he's doing this and that and has this and da da da. And that's why I'm not tithing. That's not what it says in there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you, if you tithe, you're beast of devourer. It has nothing to do with what's going on from there.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, if you want to choose where you think it's being used properly, but the enemy's really using that to
manipulate people to keep from
tithing, even if they can tithe, and then they wonder why they're getting devoured.
Right. Amen.
Do you mean I have to give up my Rolls Royce now and my all that stuff I have? Praise God. No, I don't think that's it. But and it keeps you from, once again, because we talk about money, but all the money you have really doesn't belong to you anyway.
Right.
It belongs to God. And there's a spirit of ownership in this earth and in the church big time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand that God, it's God's money. So whenever I'm going to make some kind of decent purchase, I want to check with God.
Amen.
First of all,
amen.
Do I really need
exactly.
this thing, number one? Do I really? I mean, people shop all the time and their closets are already full and they're still shopping. My gosh, my closet's full. I'm trying to get rid of stuff.
Right.
And I don't mind getting a new shirt every now and then, but I've got enough shirts now. If I rotate one every Sunday for the next, you know, year, I can wear a different shirt every time. So I don't really need any more, and I don't need 20 pair of shoes, and I don't. And I'm not telling you not to enjoy life and not buy stuff.
No, yes.
I'm just telling you, use God's money the way God would use. And I tell them at the church all this time when we have a meeting. Mm-hmm. You have a leaders' meeting, I say, hey, whatever you're doing, whether you're doing the Kingdom Cafe or whether you're doing this, remember, you're spending God's money, not our money or anything else. So I want you to do it the way you would do it, praise God, if it was God's money. So everything you own doesn't belong to you anyway, and somebody's going to have it sooner or later anyway. The house you're living in is basically a rental for you now. You may not be paying rent because you own it, but sooner or later somebody else is going to take over that house and take over that car. And your clothes, probably nobody's going to take over your clothes. It's probably going to end up in the dumpster sometime, and that'll be the end of that. But that's another thing. It takes you off the things, thinking about things all the time and seeing somebody else drive by in a nice car, and you want one better than that car. I mean, I just want a car that gets me down the road and takes me where I'm gone, you know, and it's comfortable, basically. So things have got to be removed off of your mind. If you're really going to be a kingdom seeker and a kingdom person, you've got to get off the natural things and get on the spiritual things that are really important. You have an inheritance already from God, and it's a glorious inheritance, according to Ephesians 1. But nobody seems to want to take that until they die and go to heaven.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to need the inheritance that much up there. You need it when you're down here now. So all the things that God has given to you in your inheritance, you need to read the will.
That's right.
The will and testament of God, which is right before you there in the Bible, and you read, you start taking advantage of those things. So little by little, I was discovering things of the spirit realm that would help me, and I was starting to put my faith there rather than the other. And all at once, I mean, I can't even explain how I started getting money or how I started paying my bills or how I got out of debt. People ask you how, and all I can say is, I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things were added to me.
And it's loosening. It's loosening it. From the mind, you know, when you loosen the bind that you have with money or things, and you start loosening it, then you get the liberty, freedom, and justice that the Bible is trying to give to everybody in life. It's really of our own mind, of our own making in our minds, so like what these attachments are. Because that's what I find the most. I find freedom and liberty in not being so caught up in those things anymore. And I was. I mean, I really was. And sometimes, listen, will and testament. Sometimes there's a test of faith that has to happen. I'm around certain things sometimes, like the old things that used to, you know, entice me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to make decisions, conscious decisions, take captive the thought, bring it to the obedience of God's word, and sit with myself and let God minister to me before I move forward in certain things. You know, I've just spent 6 weeks in New York in my old kind of like lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be very consuming, you know, and I have to really, not only that, but, you know, spend time with the Lord for myself. And this is for everybody. It's not only me. This is the things that try to entwine us back into the weeds and the thistles and all that stuff. We have to remember that we don't have to go back there. It's our choice to take captive those thoughts or those temptations. And God says there's never a temptation that can that can captivate us except for the one that we choose to do. So it's up to me individually, each and every one of us, to be responsible and manage our own lives with God. It's about a management thing too. What's prioritizing in our life? You know, when I was out of my normal element, safe in my cocoon here, my God cocoon, my people.
Good place to be.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to be. But when you go out into the wilderness, you got to bring God with you.
Yeah.
You know, I got to bring that with me. You know, so, and this is for everybody. Work could be the wilderness. I don't know. You know, going to a family function, the wilderness. God's with you. And everything that you've gotten, that I have received, as for me in my house, you know, that I've built with God, comes with me wherever I go. And for everybody listening, that's why it's so important to allow him to build your house with you, your heart, your mind, your spirit, all of it with you. He wants to help you build that fortress, that safe place, secret place. I had to run to the secret place of my heart many times when I was
up
you
there.
Know,
I'll bet you did up there. Yeah,
I did. Say you. Not only with being around people, places. Listen, people, places, and things. Okay, that's it. Places are important too because they're reminders. You know, and sometimes you want to fantasize about certain things. Got to get it out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
And if you want your even your health to straighten up.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus kept saying, why do you worry? Why do you worry? Mm-hmm. Why do you worry? Apparently, he knows that we have a problem worrying about things.
He's the sick.
Or else Jesus wouldn't say that. So basically, if you've been living for things your whole life, believing for things, your faith is in things, and you're all stressed out all the time and all worried, well, you can go to any natural doctor, any other doctor, any kind of doctor, and they will tell you that stress and worry messes up your physical body. So everybody's out there in the church, and they're going after these things because that's what we were taught. We got our little prayer list. Jesus is going to get blessed me pretty soon. And you're stressed out the whole time because God ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing. And then you're sick and you want to come for somebody to pray for you to be healed when your problem is you're worried about everything.
Right.
So why even get healed? You're just going to back worrying and you're going to be sick again tomorrow anyway. Why don't you switch over to God and put your faith in God and get off these things?
The healer.
The healer, not the things either. But the things, you know, they do it. That's all I was worried about for the first 10 years of my Christianity because that's what I was told. And then I felt bad and I was guilty because they told me if I wasn't getting it, it's because I didn't have enough faith. Well, I can only confess the word so many hours a day. You know, I was doing the best I could. Mm-hmm. And money cometh, money cometh, money cometh, money cometh, money cometh, money cometh. And guess what? Money wasn't listening because it wasn't cometh-ing. So I knew something was wrong there, but all these little things that we were doing, as soon as I got, so even if it's a faith thing, but it's also a priority thing.
Right. Amen.
If we can switch our priorities over to God's priorities, God will take care of our things that we're lacking or not getting, and he'll make sure that we got them. So it's a faith thing, but it's also we had to change our priorities.
Yes.
And I think that's why when he said this, then he jumped right in to seek first, you know, the kingdom of
God.
He gave
us the answer.
And also the answer that he was the one who was going to supply them.
Yes.
You know, I'm the Father. I know what you need. I'll take care of it. No, I got it, God. Don't worry. I'm believing you for it.
And that's why he says faith, we have to be of childlike faith. Because it's always expecting you. A child expects their parent to provide. So if we keep that kind of faith, you know, like as far as like he's my father, he's going to provide for me, then we'll believe what he's saying. Like, you know, like you share a lot. Like your kids didn't worry if there were milk in the refrigerator, or you know, they had these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God says, why do you worry about these things? Not even the lilies, and he provides for them. How much more is he going to provide for us? And those are the basic things are simple for God. Like, and here we are worrying about, like, are we going to have food on the table? Are we going to have shelter? Those are our basics. And God says he's going to provide as long as we line up with his will, plan, and purpose for us to be used by him, you know?
I couldn't even imagine going over to Lake Wales and walking in the house and Talon ran up to me and said, here's my prayer list, Papa, from you. I mean, I think, are you nuts? I mean, crazy at 5 years old already? But then he's our father.
Yeah.
And we're turning around doing the same thing to him. Here's my prayer list for you. And guys, oh, my God, here we go again. We already discussed this once or twice. So, it's almost, when you think about it, an insult.
Yeah.
Because we're always worried about everything that he already said he'd supply for us. So we just got on board with what he wanted us to do.
Yeah.
And that is extend this kingdom of God. And by extending it, I mean, you have relation. They're tough. But you have people around you.
Right.
You have people on your job. You have people that you run into all the time. These people need some good news.
Hallelujah.
And the kingdom of God is good news. The gospel means good news. And that's good news to everybody out there, because when Adam fell, he basically lost the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And every person on earth is missing the kingdom of God. That's what they're missing on the inside.
Good news.
That's why you're buying a bunch of things. That's why you're addicted. Mm-hmm. That's why you're in alcohol. That's why you're in drugs, because you're trying to fill that hole with something. And let me tell you, it's not working, is it? As a matter of fact, all it's doing is killing you slowly. So when you find out the kingdom of God is what fills your heart and the ability to be operable in that, basically it just lets all those other things fall off you, and you're not worried about things anymore, and you're not stressed out anymore, and you're not worried anymore. And I'll tell you what, your health will start straightening up. Your diabetes will go away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that you're struggling with are all because of worry and fear and doubt and unbelief. Now, of course, the medical, and I don't want to get into that, praise God, because we may have some doctors or something listening, you never know. But the medical people do a great job, but they're not the answer all the time.
Right.
The answer is basically just living a kingdom life and living like God wants you to live, and you'll find out a lot of things in your life will start lining up.
That's right. That's right. It's true. I mean, even our mouth. I mean, cursing was a bad one for me. I used to curse all the time, and now I don't. I didn't ask God for it, but he knew what he was going to use me for. I couldn't be doing that, you know? Hallelujah. Same thing. With your and worry. Worry and fear. Fear is the path. Being anxious about the future and the past, depression. God says don't do it. Everything's in the pit. You don't need to think about yesterday. So.
And for James, let go of your unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness is a big one. That's
if you ain't
right.
going to say it, I'm going to say it. I'm going to get you out of the way. You don't want to talk anyway, so I'm going
to
jump right in there.
Yeah,
and basically, unforgiveness.
You cannot
live in unforgiveness your whole
no
life.
No way.
You're not hurting
It'll
anybody
you.
But yourself. You're not hurting that person who offended you in high school, and now you're 70 years old, and you're still mad about it. They don't even know where you're at or anything else. Let it go, for gosh sakes. It's hurting you. It's hurting your physical makeup. It's hurting your mind. It's hurting everything. Every time somebody's even mentioned, even if it's not that person, and you're mad at Joe, and somebody mentions Joe, somebody else, it triggers right back on the inside of you, and all
blocks you from the sunlight.
You're mad at every Joe that's named Joe, for goodness sake. So let that stuff go. Line up with the kingdom of God. It's all part of what you should be doing in the kingdom of God, and that's agreement and lining up with the way God does things.
Amen.
We've talked about unforgiveness blocking healing. It also blocks finances.
Yeah.
Because you're not lining up with the kingdom.
Yeah. A lot of things. Blocks a lot of things. Relationships, everything. It touches every area of our life. All of it. Doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, anger.
Sick and broke. That's not a good place to be.
No,
is it?
No.
If we could just choose one or the other, it'd be a little bit better anyway.
Okay. Well, do you want to say?
You want me to end it?
Yeah.
Sure. Hey. You've been listening, and you've heard there needs to be a change in your life.
Yes.
There needs to be a priority adjustment for you. And that priority adjustment is just put your faith in God. And in order to do that, you're going to have to know what God said. You're going to have to know God's word. Don't put your faith in natural things. Don't put your faith in things that you want. Find out what God's will is in your life and start pursuing that will for you and your piece of the puzzle and your part to be in there. And as you do that, fulfillment will come into your life. Happiness will come into your life. Healing will come back in your body. And you're going to find out that your life can be a lot better than it is right now. And I just want to pray for you quickly. Father, I thank you.
Yes,
raise up the Holy Spirit on the inside of each and every person who is listening tonight. Father, open their eyes to the things you've provided for each and every one of them, the marvelous things that you provided for them. And we thank you for moving on each and every one right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. We agape you.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Crowded with grace. on a hill called Calvary, stood on this mystery. How could pain and suffering be our victory? Crown made of thorns placed on his brow, scorned by the mocking of the crowd. Why would the King of heaven bow for the weight of sin? Crown him with praise, worship his name, Jesus the King who defeated the grave. Now and always, his victory remains. So cry.